I think all three of us felt that we probably could have used the whole evening to talk, but unfortunately it didn't work out that way, so we'll see how fast we can go. Hopefully I won't talk too fast for anyone, but we will see. My daughter and I have had the opportunity to go down to Peru for several years, involved with medical missions there, out of Latin American missions in Valdosta, Georgia. The country of Peru, which is on the coast of the Pacific coast, is actually almost due south of Miami. And for half the year, it's the same time as we are here. However, they don't change their time. So when we spring forward, then the time is different. So it changes there. We, for the last several years, have been working in Lima, Peru, which is the capital. It's about 8 million people. It's a huge city. There's several congregations there now. But this year, we went down the coast to Ica. Doesn't look very far there, but it's a good four-hour bus ride. It's pretty slow, but it's a city of about 350,000. There are currently two congregations there, one that started about 5 years ago and one that started just about a year ago, and that's the congregation that we were working with. The bus ride down is pretty much through the desert. Even though it's right on the ocean, it is desert, mountainous. Now, you can see that where there's a little bit of water, there's pretty good crops. And some of you, especially if you eat asparagus, have probably eaten crops from this area because you can find them in the stores around here. And there's a lot of other crops that they grow there as long as they have water. And as you can look, we're actually up on a mountain here overlooking Parcona, which is a suburb of Ica. And this is where the second congregation was started. You can just kind of see what the terrain is like and the mountains, and it is rocky, and there is nothing growing there. It does not rain. Most of the grass and stuff that you saw is from either underground springs or from irrigation from the rivers that come down out of the Andes Mountains. This is actually a walkway up to the top of a hill where there's a cross that's built up there, and you can just walk up to it. It's about 550 steps, and it is a ways up. This is the compound where we actually worked at. You can see it's a fairly good sized. This was the bathrooms. This is where the kitchen was. And right here is where most everything was. This was actually a school. And actually, this room, and one up here were in use well in the evenings, well, the time that we were there, because they continue with their classes. But we rented out the rest of it. Chairs were set up here. Let's go back one step. The patients would come in through here to the front part, around to the doctors. We had four doctors and a nurse practitioner. And the patients would come and meet with the doctors and their translators here just to go over the general complaints and the problems. A lot of malnutrition. A lot of problems with your teeth, a lot of intestinal parasites, and also saw some other things, wounds, and some pretty bad scarring and problems that they had. Now, I will say, this is the first year that we were in this part of Ica. Most of the time, we've been in Lima. And the patient's health was actually better in Ica than what we've seen in Lima. They had better food. They had a lot better air and conditions to live in. And we saw a lot of older people, a lot of people in their 80s and 90s that you really don't see too much of in Lima. So it was a more healthier place to be. But there's still a lot of people and a lot of problems. Once they got through with the doctors here, they'd move around to the dentist's tent. This is Jeremy McDowell. He's a dentist. He attends the Jupiter Tequesta congregation. Here they're ready in the morning, getting ready for the people to come in. Now, if you notice, these were kind of open, but this is pretty well blocked in because, you know, you don't really want to see a lot of blood. You don't want to hear a lot of people screaming, even though you would hear them some. But still, it was kind of closed in. Once they were through with the dentist, or for those that didn't need to go, would come around to the pharmacy. And this is the pharmacy that we worked in, which was an enclosed room. Now, I will say, out of the 8 years that I've gone to Peru, this is by far the best conditions I've ever had to work in. It was probably the cleanest and the easiest place to set up and to set things. So that was very nice and made things a lot easier. This is the other pharmacist that I was working with, Alex George, and also had two pharmacy students that worked with us. So I had a very nice crew. And this is my daughter, just kind of keeping track of things. As we worked out of the pharmacy, this is the table that we dispensed off of. The patients would wait here, and then we would give them their medicine, and it would be explained to them what they needed to do with it. And there's Valerie. This is right out in front of the pharmacy. This is Terry Frizzell, Scott Hayes, and Greg Moody, and also Robert Jordan, all from the Jupiter to Cuesta congregation, from the Stewart congregation, and they were also down there as well. Terry Frizzell and Terry Frizzell. It was actually their anniversary, so they set up music, flowers, and dinner for them on the compound while we were there. The lighting's not too good, but I guess it's kind of a romantic ambiance. Now, a lot of the teens and some of the young people were actually able to go out to schools. This is Escuela Privada, which is a private school. They were actually go into the schools, talk to the kids, tell Bible stories, and just, you know, spend some time with them. And this is several of the people from kids from the group from all different parts of the country. And then just a series of kids, you know, that were the younger students. This is Valerie, Casey Frizzell, and Brooke McDowell. And they were all three down there. This is the baptismal pool, which we had. This one was actually much nicer and larger than what we've had in the past. And this is getting ready to be baptized. It's a two-man proposition, because when you have this little water, it's pretty hard to get them all the way under with just one person. So you'd have one person hold the feet, and then one person that would get them under. Now, most of these people had their studies either in the compound, because when the people would come through the doctor's line, there would be teams of people there that gave them the opportunity to have Bible studies, and so they would study there. And also there would be groups that would go out to study with people that had been contacts of the local church, to study with people that they just met on the street. In the week that we were there, we averaged a little over 50 Bible studies a day from the groups of people that were there. And there was a total of 41 baptisms the week that we were there. It was actually a two-week campaign, and the prior week there had been 30 baptisms. So there was a total of 71 baptisms in the two-week period. Now, the congregation in Parcona is only about 20 members, so there's a lot of follow-up work for the preacher and the members there. And so I would ask that you keep them in your prayers, because it's really difficult for that small of a group to assimilate that large a number of converts. So we would hope that you'd keep that in. Now, this is Jimmy McDowell, and he's giving the morning devotional, because we would start off the morning, we'd go from the hotel by bus, to the compound for breakfast, and then we'd have a morning devotional, and then there would be an hour of classes, and the classes were designed for the Peruvian preachers and workers that were there, for them and also for their wives. So they had two separate classes. And then the rest of that time was just getting set up and ready for the work of the day, and then we'd go from there. And Jimmy's talking about Goliath. Plus, he just wanted to seem tall, you know, because he's not the tallest person, but down there he is tall. And you're just getting a little unfair advantage. This is Carlos, who's from Panama, and he was one of the main interpreters. He speaks English and obviously Spanish both very well. And then just some more pictures of some of the children. And this was a dinner. It was actually the lunch that we ate when we first got there. It's lomo saltado, which is basically rice with meat, beef, and onions, and french fries, and gravy. And it's one of the national dishes. Peru has a reputation as being kind of a place where there's a lot of good food. It's certainly unique and different. And some of it's pretty good too, but it is very different. Now, those of you that remember when Brad Harrob was here, he mentioned the Ica stones. This is a collection. This is just a partial collection. There's several more rooms of it. These are burial stones that are found in burials throughout this part of the country. So we actually got to go to the museum in Ica where it is. This is a picture of one of the stones. This is a picture of a dinosaur with a human on it. It looks like he's trying to stick a knife into it. And there's just countless stones of all sorts of depictions of life, from surgical procedures to just maps and just everyday scenes of life, and some other scenes that are a little more pornographic, I guess would be the best way to put it. So there's a large number of stones there. And the last morning that we were there, we got to go out into the desert and ride on the on dune buggies. You can see the roll bars. Fortunately, we didn't need to use them, but from the way they drive, I can see why they're there. And this is just, this is the desert outside of town. This is just what it looks like. This is getting ready to slide down the hill on a sandboard. This is the oasis that we left out of and went back to. It's called Huachina. It used to be a major resort in Peru about the turn of the century. A lot of people, a lot of the rich people from Lima would go down here. And this is was a natural spring. It's no longer a natural spring, and some of that water's piped in because the ground level has been depleted and a lot of the natural springs are drying up. But they kept this one just for the commercial value and also for the memories of it. The opportunities in Peru for the church and the growth of the church are very good. There's a very much of an interest. There's very much of a need down there. And the goals are to, you know, have a church in every department of the country within the next 10 years. They've started a preacher training school in Lima that has about 6 to 8 people in it each 2 years, because it's a 2-year program, and trying to train people to go out into the parts of the country, into the main centers, and start 1 or 2 churches with the idea that from there, those churches will be able to grow and they'll be able to set new churches that can reproduce themselves and go from the big cities to the smaller towns to the villages out into the whole country of Peru. Thank you very much for your time.